I was a bad kid. I got in trouble. And one night, three men dragged me out of my bed and threw me into a van. After an endless drive through the dark that ended miles from paved roads, I was informed that I had been sent to a camp. A camp for bad kids. They'd set up nice and cozy in an old wash, a demented child's version of Tent City. Right away, we ran into problems with the dirt, which was like broken pottery, and our boots shattered into puffs of dust. Everything was coated in a thick layer of dust and another layer of sand on top of that. We dug, did manual labor, and drilled into the baking sun, the dust continually choking us, and the sand gritting away at our skin. All of us sporting varying degrees of a kind of road rash on our palms from the friction on the handles of our shovels and spades. The dirt brutalized us. The sun beat down on us as soon as it rose, but the heat was fickle. At night we shivered in our bags, arms wrapped around us in a futile attempt to stave off the bitter cold. Cacti stabbed at our heels, and every scrubby plant was guaranteed to have a coating of thorns. One unfortunate boy was the recipient of home surgery, and the hour before bed, he discovered a thorn had been lodged in his perineum after a fall. We sliced open an aloe and applied it to the wound. Hope for the best. And oh, how much we hated them. Our abductors kept watch from the shade, stepping out only long enough to haul whatever one of us had fallen to their feet and shove the handle of the shovel back into their hands. Showers were a luxury, rarely earned. Food was never a given, and many of us took into slicing our belts in half and making them fit. Every day was the same, and the time was measured by scabs and the issue and eventual disintegration of our uniforms. And then, one of us went missing. A very small, quiet boy who blended in perfectly with the sand and parched dirt. We looked for him for days, counselors barking over our shoulders into the smoldering heat, but we found no trace of him. Survival was not possible. We watched for vultures as we dug up succulents and replanted them away from camp. The desert was quiet. I didn't know the girl who woke up screaming, but I recognized her as she fled, her bright red hair like a flame against the pitch of the night. A counselor took off after her. Her tent was inspected. Someone else was inside, an unrecognized, filthy creature that shivered unprotected against the cold, beside her bag. He was removed and taken to the nurse, supported on both sides by reluctant hands, while the rest of us were ordered back to our tents. He was reintroduced into the general population again, once he'd been cleaned and checked. But there was something wrong with him. Some kind of smell that was repugnant to the point of being unbearable. His eyes had developed a strange twitch. They bounced constantly without ever settling. His hair was thin and the bones of his spine jutted from his heavy striped shirt. He refused to eat, as if the food didn't interest him. At night he whimpered and screamed despite the heavy sedatives. Rumors of other inmates observing him plucking off and eating the thorns and spines of cacti. Close look at his gums confirmed the story. He was put in constant observation, but this didn't deter him. He was quiet to the point of invisibility. And losing track of him was inevitable. He grew thinner and thinner, his skeleton jutting painfully outward, pulling the skin tight. The massive eyes rolled and slid from place to place, and even the counselors began to be frightened of him. No one spoke to or approached him. He wasn't instructed to work. He simply stood at the edge of the city, staring out into the desert with those ghoulish eyes, while wind-blown sand pooled in the hollows of his collarbone. His cornea is clouded with infection, scarred by the dirt and sand. Strange growths appeared all over him, hard, yellowish protrusions that broke through the skin and bled when nicked with a scalpel. The nurse refused to touch him after this, and he was left alone to stand and stare blindly into the desert, his eyes milky but still twitching, sliding from point to point. Something brushed against the side of my tent one night. It snagged material, rasping across it just above my head, and I peered out into the darkness and could make out the figure of the boy about two tent lengths away. He was moving towards the edge of the city. The growths had grown completely, taking over the surface of his skin. They were sharp, pointed, and they tore cruelly at his skin as they emerged. Mesmerized, I moved closer. He heard me and turned, his useless eyes fixed on my face in a rare moment of stillness. "Who's out there?" I heard myself ask. It was difficult for him to speak. The growths were inside of him, too, but I made out what he croaked from around the growths.
"Nothing."
He turned and continued to make his way. This time he didn't pause as he reached the edge of camp. The darkness was thin and oily, and he sank into it until there was nothing left of him. I waited for him in front of my tent until sunrise, but he didn't come back. I waited every night until the camp was raided, and we returned to our homes with the promise of future justice. We didn't talk about him. It didn't need to be discussed. It was best to leave it unsaid.
Take it easy on the truth serum. No more of the, we're alive. And there, kids, it's me, Mr. Creepypasta.
And I like midget porn.
Ooh. Mm-mm. Hi there, kids, it's me, Mr. Creepypasta.
And I'm a Russian spy. Dosvedonya.
Ooh. Hi there, kids, I'm Mr. Creepypasta.
And I just pooped myself.
Everybody has like, whoa, just? Hey there, kids. I'm Mr. Creepypasta.
And sometimes, when nobody's looking, I go to the dog park and I sniff the dog's butts.
Hi there, kids. I'm Mr. Creepypasta.
And I'm a cam model. Ties ribbons to his penis and dances to Taylor Swift.
You're not even just saying that, you're just coming to self-realizations and just, like, not wanting to be here. Hey there, kids. I'm Mr. Creepypasta.
And my mother once told me I was adopted.
Hi there, kids. It's me, Mr. Creepypasta.
And I'm Vincent Vinicava.
And today we're here to talk to you about the Creepypasta comic book. You guys probably heard us talk about it before when it first went to Kickstarter. Well, now it's available for everybody and not just the backer.
April 7th. On Amazon. Follow the link. Supplies are limited.
Very limited, in fact. But you don't want to miss out on this. And it's also going to be the start of the Spooktacular this year. So you'll be able to find out what actually happened to him, whose body was stolen by Bizarro, and me, who's still stuck in the deep web.
Ooh, yeah! I don't know. I just thought it was like a catchphrase.
Ooh, yeah!
Snap into a Slim Jim! Dig it!
Ah, welcome. I take it you've come for a story. Of course you did. Why else would you have tracked down my website? After all, it takes a very special browser to even locate this dark little corner of the internet. But you already knew that. So, if it's a story you want, it's a story you shall receive. And it would please me very much to read one to you this evening. All of you. Shall we begin? I've got the perfect one in mind. It's a tale about those who've been wronged and the depths they'll sink to in the name of revenge. The Creepypasta comic is available on Amazon, April 7th.